Blog Talk Radio. Hello, hello, hello. Wow. It is November, the 7th of November. Like Minister Sylvia had said on Friday night, it seemed like October just went by, swoosh, and it was over, and now we're already in November. I can't say, though, that the year appeared to go by that fast, because with COVID and the various things that we've been challenged with, it has definitely been a year of growth and patience and flexibility and love and so much more. So I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sheila so that she can pray for us and pray with us, and welcome everyone to Smile 3E Sunday morning program. I am so honored that God allowed us to have another Sunday in November, the seventh day, 2021, a day that we have never seen before. And once it's gone, we will never be able to repeat. Minister Sheila? Are you on mute, Minister Sheila?
Good morning. I just want to thank God for another day, for giving us another birthday of life, another day that was not promised to us. But, Lord, I thank you for letting us be here for this day, another day, another birthday each day. And I open my eyes. Another day, I call it another birthday, because it's another new day. It's another day of life to learn, honor, worship, and treasure our Father God Almighty and the Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I give honor to you, excuse me, who's ahead of my life, that have given a day to, given me a day to love and to praise and to thank you. And I thank you for all that you have given life to today, more than I know and I don't know. Lord, I thank you. Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Prophet Antoine Thomas, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Brandon Kaiser, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, Minister Margaret McCord, Lawrence Seabury, Evangelist Missionary, Tony Montgomery, Linda Handy, Dr. Serena Wright. Lord, I give honor to you for all the teachers that you have sent down here to bless us and to teach us and to help us understand you. Thank you for my brothers, my sisters, my sons, my daughters, my granddaughters, my grandsons, nieces, nephews, uncles, aunts, my bloodline family, and also my spiritual family. But Lord, I thank you, and I thank you for blessing us. And I ask you to lead us through this world with this ugliness, this hatred, this racialness, and to help us, Lord, guide us, protect us, and lead us into the right way, the light that you have provided for us, and to help this government to know you are here for all people, not just some people, no matter what your color is, your race, your sex, your creed, your religion, to bless us all and to lead us the right way and to bless this law enforcement so that they might understand and help all people, not just some people, and to remove this ugliness and to help us to know that Satan will show you the light, but it's always going to be ending in the dark. But Lord, I thank you and I thank you. And I cannot thank you enough. And I thank you for blessing us with another day. And to help us to remember, you are the way. You made the earth for us to be. You given us the breath, the eyes, our body features to go through and to bless us through whatever problems we might be going through on the job, neighborhood, family, within ourselves. But Lord, we need to know, no matter what you're going through, financial or health-wise, you are the way. We listen and follow in your footsteps to do as you say. You can bring all ugliness to a beautiful sight and life that we can have. I mean, thank you. Back to you, Apostle.
My phone is just doing its own thing this morning, and that's okay. Because maybe it wanted to celebrate us having another Sunday, and I'm okay with that. At least it was music. I just want to start off with a question. And if you want to give an answer, that's fine. And if you don't, that's fine. Give me an example, or example is up to you if you want to share. Can you give me an example of something that the world would not use, but God would? You know, an example of, you know, how there are some jobs that we work on where we have this so-called troublemaker or this person that doesn't have a higher degree as someone else, and so they wouldn't supposedly pick that person to be the superintendent because of worldly qualifications, or that person that's homeless, what the world would call a bum on the corner, to fix someone's meal for the day. But God could clean that person up and use them. Can you think of something or some things that God does that mankind would disagree with or not agree with? So the lines are open if you want to share.
Good morning.
Okay, I believe Sylvia and Minister Margot were trying to speak. So, Minister Margot, could you go first, please?
Okay, thank you very much, Apostle-elect. This is a good day, a blessing from God. And I'm just asking you guys for your prayers. I'm not feeling great, not feeling very good, but I believe God is already making a way, making me to feel better. So I would say, you were talking about things that the world wouldn't think of, maybe just on a personal level, illness. Some people think that, hadn't thought about it until I just thought about my own personal testimony. Sometimes things happen, come into our lives. And God can use that to shape us, to make us, to grow us, and to tell us to count and depend on Him. He is really, truly our only source. So God bless you.
Amen, amen. Minister Sylvia?
Good morning, everyone. This is Sylvia. Minister Sylvia. I find that the world finds it hard to follow people they consider handicapped. They consider them not to be used by God because they say if God was going to use you, why would He leave you handicapped? So that's one of the things I noticed in the world.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Okay. Well, I agree. I mean, it's people that are handicapped and belittling them and making fun of them, but they usually tend to not promote them as the top person in an organization and things of that sort. And then also how Minister Margot talked about illness, how God can use those people that are ill to either draw them closer to Him, or sometimes that challenge is what will cause us to draw closer. And then sometimes a lot of people don't have the patience to work with people or to pray with people that are having physical illnesses and things of that sort. But it's amazing how God can use that disability or that illness I want to take it a little bit further. Or no, I don't even want to say take it a little bit further, because what you all gave as examples were great examples, but I want to add to it. Think about how animals or items and things of that sort, whether it's a coin, how he used the coins, how the woman used her last coin, and how someone lost the coin, or simply how Jesus used a donkey or a colt, as they would say it, instead of a stallion. Many people would not have done that. They would have wanted to use that stallion, not a colt, not a donkey. Well, biblically, a donkey is a sign of humility and labor. And it's really, strangely enough, a sign of authority as well, although the horses are deemed as more those of strength and pride and someone that's going to win the war, you know, human strength. But when you think of humility and a person of labor, and it's also a donkey is a symbol of patience, especially in times of stress, that you can accomplish that thing that you're working on and for because of your humility, because of your patience, and because of your ability to self-sacrifice. And so it's a symbol of hard work and study. However, when I think about what the world does, and I think about what the world, how they symbolize a donkey, it's usually when someone's calling someone an idiot, or I'll say a jack-o'-lantern. But we know they're not calling them a jack-o'-lantern. They're calling them something else. So usually when someone calls someone a donkey in the worldly language, or if they say you remind me of a horse, that means they're trying to say you're strong and you're, you know, just so magnificent and pride. But it's amazing. The Bible is not being obnoxious. It's not being inappropriate. It's not heckling someone at a wedding or at an event where it's saying, that person is acting like a real donkey or a blockhead, or calling someone a stupid person. I remember Marines. Marines are often called jarheads and things of that sort, and not every Marine is that. Well, the other day I wrote on Facebook how me and someone was talking and how we both started laughing and praising God because I had said to her, I said, better be careful, I said, because you know people will call you a donkey. I said, and the thing about it is what kind of donkey are they calling you? Are they calling you a lost donkey, a donkey you ride, a donkey you settle, a wild donkey, or a jack-o'-lantern donkey? What are they calling you? Or are they really trying to say that you're a person of humility? You're a person of patience? You're a person of sacrifice? I said, so you really want to find out and not get so upset as soon as someone calls you a donkey because you want to know what they're actually calling you. And we both just started praising God because we realized that how God defines something doesn't always line up with how man defines that very same thing. 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, 27th verse. King James Version, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The Message Version goes a little further because it does verses 26 through 31, so be patient with me. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you, not many affluent, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chooses men and women that the culture overlooks, exploits, and abuses? Choose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebody that make it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn. Before God. Everything that we have, right thinking, right living, a clean slate, a fresh start, comes from God by the way of Jesus Christ. That's why we have the saying, if you're going to blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God. Oh, my God. That's rich. That is so rich to say, don't brag on yourself, but brag on God. I love the young person's rap song that says, let me take a second to brag on my God. I've been listening not only to others, but to myself lately. And I try to make sure that when I'm talking about something, I'm giving God the praise out of it. There are some people that have insecurity and low self-esteem issues that need to learn how to brag on what God has done through them. But there's a balance of learning how to brag on what God has done through us and for us versus vanity. So I was listening, and it seemed like they were going, I did this, I did that. And how many of you know the reason why this has really been something that I've been calling out lately is because guess what time it is for me? This is evaluation time. Not just the time at work where I get evaluated, but it's the time at work when I have to evaluate my employees. And what I found interesting is that some of them do a great job of bragging on what they have done. But some of them also do a great job of making up a story of what they've done by taking credit for what other people have showed them how to do. And then I have others that just have a problem with bragging on themselves in general. And one of the things I learned that also some of them, when they're evaluating themselves during their self-assessment, it's a blame game. They weren't able to do this or that because of this or that or that person. I'm not talking about true things that impacted you. Like, for instance, say that you were going to go up you were going to use the elevator to go up to the third floor, but the elevator is out. So you really couldn't use the elevator, so you had to take the stairs. But I'm saying, what about the person that could have used the elevator, and they didn't take the stairs because they were trying to exercise. They purposefully went to the elevator that they know is busy, 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 instead of the elevator that is usually available. And so those are things we have to look at. How would God have done that? How would he have talked about what you've done? Not that when you're writing up your appraisals or assessments and stuff that you want to talk about God, but the point of that was telling the truth and humility. A donkey can be a symbol of redemption, for we know that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And one of the symbols that they give us of him in John 1, verses 35 through 37, is he's the Lamb of God. And so even the Lamb of God that decided to ride a donkey or a colt, depending on which version of the Bible you're reading and also who's telling the story, we need to know that there's a symbol of what people say and do at least connected to it. And so when people speak of you, speak of me, would they consider us a lamb? Would they consider us like the Lion of Judah? Woo, that person is always praising God. Well, a donkey can also be that of wisdom. For in 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter verses 6 through 10, it talks about the wisdom and that how we might want to listen because we don't want to perish. We don't want to be at fault. We don't want to speak out. And when we're speaking out, it not be something Christ-like. There's also donkeys in the Bible that are symbolic of servitude. Lowly donkey or colt that Jesus rode, and there's other examples in the Bible because we know that to be called a donkey that's symbolic of redemption or symbolic of wisdom or symbolic of being a servant of God is a good thing. We know to be considered a donkey that's lost, like in Genesis 34:28, is different. And if you're talking about there being a whole bunch of donkeys, that's the multitude of donkeys also in Genesis 12 and 16. So what do you mean in that multitude? Are you talking about a multitude of wisdom, a multitude of redemption, a multitude of servitude? What are you actually talking about? Or that donkey that was ridden. So is it you're talking about how this or that has been your place to take you from one place to the next place? I don't know about you, but God has taken me a lot of places. Take a moment and think about the various donkeys that I've just talked about, because I have some more. And let me know at the end, what do you think about when you think about a donkey? Well, right now I'm opening up the door to my garage. Just in case you were wondering, I was paused longer than other usual. Hold on a moment. Well, let me tell you what I thought about. I thought about how I would love to be able to be that sacrificial donkey that redeemed someone, meaning that God blessed me with a certain amount of money or gifts or talents to be able to pay someone's mortgage off or to give someone a car, which he has, I have to be honest, I forgot about that. He has allowed me to do that before when it comes to buying someone some transportation or something. But what about the one of wisdom? When people think of me, would they think of a person of wisdom? Wow. Or would they think about a wild person? A wild donkey, someone that's unsaddled. They're all out there. They're so wild. They're going from here to there. I've been that donkey before, too. And I thank God for deliverance. So I could just think of the different things. And someone may even call me a jack-o'-lantern. I don't believe I've ever truly been a jack-o'-lantern, but depending on who's telling the story, maybe I was. Well, let's think about some of the things and some of the people that God has used, which society would not have used. The harlot named Rahab that saved the spies and the people and helped Abraham and Lot. The self-righteous man like the Pharisee Paul, who became a great apostle. The drunkard like Noah that saved two of everything, or the murderer or the adulterer like David. And yet he was crowned king even after he humbly killed Goliath. Or Moses, who had a speech impediment. That goes in line with what Minister Sylvia was talking about, with someone with a disability. He stuttered, but yet he saved a nation and a people. And then we have how in the Bible they talk about how the use of colts and donkeys were done instead of these prestigious stallions and jets, and even in today's society, to go from point A to point B, or people riding around in limousines because they're so rich and affluent. That person that is the Pope, or they say, let's use the Queen of England. Let's talk to Bill Gates. Let's use the U.S. President. Let's use the Vice President. Let's use people of good reputation. Let's use people of wealth. Because I'm trying to, you know, promote my own political whatever. So I want to be seen standing with Oprah. I want to be seen standing with the Queen of England. I want to be seen with this person or that person. But what about using people that are all around the nation, but they're not people that are known all over the nation? People like you and I, people that like to be in the background, people that may have a criminal background, people that may have a harlot background. That's me. People that have had a background of being a drunkard or an addict of some type. But yet again, 1 Corinthians, First chapter 26 through 31, Message version, remind us how God himself appears to deliberately choose men and women that the culture would overlook, exploit, or abuse, are considered to be nobodies, and make them somebodies. My God in heaven. My God, you don't know how hard it is for me to hold myself back while I am sharing this message. When I think on the goodness of Jesus and all the things he's done for me, my. When I think on all the things that I've done, that mankind has counted me out. And God, if he gave me the ability and the privilege to share his word one time, how great that was. But when I think on how he's given me the ability to share his word over and over and over and over again, and sometimes, being transparent as I may, I wasn't living what I should have been living. Because of vanity, because of the lust of this flesh, because of someone pushed my button, and when they pushed it, my, there was an explosion that they did not expect to receive. Because they said, oh, she's so nice. She's so nice. I can just keep on pushing her. I can just keep on exploiting her. I can just keep on using these microaggressions against her. I can just keep on abusing her because she says she loves me. My. I had to go from being that meek, timid little person to being a humble, nice person to being a person that was so fed up and frustrated with things that it was like a snake. When I spoke it, it bit you and it poisoned you. And it may have even killed you spiritually. God had to teach me, I know the world says that what you did was okay. But if you say you love me, what would Jesus do? That was a great lesson that he taught me, but there was a victim of that particular era of my life that I had to go back and apologize to. Although the world said they deserved it, I had to go back and apologize to them because God let me know that's not me. So that situation in the Bible where God says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you in 1 Peter 5:7, that resulted out of that pain, that time when the word of God that says, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Well, God had to tell you, what you want to do or say might get that person and that group right, but it's not going to promote peace. That feeling of being weak and overwhelmed and empty. And God had to remind me that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I remember, I believe I talked to you all about this before, working with all men. And they not only didn't like me because I was a woman, they didn't like me because I was a black woman. They all not only didn't like me because I was a black woman, they didn't like me because I was in the Army and they were from the Navy. They not only didn't like me because I was a black woman that was in the Army, they didn't like me because in some cases they had to answer to me. And in this area of no peace and chaos that lacked joy and happy and lacked even happiness, but it seemed to be exhausting me with sadness, and I needed a healing and a miracle from God to show me how to deal with these microaggressions and this racism and sexism and these things that I was dealing with, and to still stay there until God said to move. Not to run so that I could repeat that test again, but I had to allow God to use the foolish thing to confirm the wise and to make that which was weak that appeared to be me amongst these so-called strong Navy men. All of a sudden, I noticed not only did God start promoting me, I was leaving them behind. But when I was leaving them behind, I was still praying for them. I went from trying to get them told to trying to get them sold out to God. Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I thought I was lonely. I was feeling alone, being the only woman in this leadership thing and being attacked all the time by these men. But I had to remember how Matthew 11:28 told me, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And I had to go back to 2 Corinthians 1:3-6. Blessed, gratefully praised and adored be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts and encourages us in every trouble, so that we will be able to comfort and encourage those who are in the any kind of trouble or with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as Christ's sufferings are ours in abundance, whatsoever it is you declared and decreed, 1 Corinthians 27 even said, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. But God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. Now, when I was working with these men, I was not quoting this scripture. When I was working with these men, I was actually calling Apostle Sandra Thomas and asking her to pray for me because I had been praying, in some cases, for their harm. I had to transition from praying for their harm to praying for their salvation. I had to transition from them lying on me and doing all manner of evil against me to me just looking at them and ignoring them. Ignoring the lies, ignoring the things that they did, because it was from the top down. They wanted this woman of God who would not allow them to do illegal things and who would not allow them to do unethical things and who they thought, because I said yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, so much that they thought I was a yes person, and they found out that I was a woman of God who knew that when I left work and when I was at work, I still had to answer to God. So I had to learn Psalms 144, 1 through 2. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, my king and firm strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my steadfast love and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he is whom I trust and take refuge, who subdues my people under me. That's why I call the skill craft mighty. And the skill craft is a brand of an ink pen, because God taught my hands to war and my fingers to fight. So although when I was growing up on Walnut Street, and Minister Sylvia and I were fighting to go into school and fighting to come home with our hands, God had to teach me the power of the ink pen, the power of putting in appeals, the power of putting in complaints, the power of using the system that was in place to make a correction. Because, see, that fight didn't always end. I might not have fought you the next day, but I might have to fight you whenever, because that was the reason that all of them at one time decided, okay, 11 boys jumped on me at one time, and I left out of it with two black eyes. That's a whole nother story. But if at that time we had to call the police, put in the various corrective measures, that may never have happened again. But even if I had prayed for them, that may not have happened again. So I'm learning that in this lifetime, not only do I have to know that God will use the foolish things to confound the wise, that although it appeared to be smart for me to fight back in it, and at that time it was, as I got older and I'm working in these places, sometimes people can do stuff that would make you want to fight them. And really what you need to do is use the systems that have been put in place, because remember, the law is for the lawless. That's a whole nother measure that God has blessed us to use. Now, if you take it to the elders, if the people are in the church and you do it that way, that's powerful. But and when you're trying to deal with someone that's not in the church, taking it to the elders won't usually work because they're not a part of that system. And so when we're praying for people and when we're allowing the skill craft anointing to work, we have to know that when those things are happening, it's usually because the enemy has already seen what somebody's been praying for you and declaring and decreeing for you. That five-digit and four-digit income was not your portion, but that six-digit and seven-digit and eight-digit income is your portion, or that ability to be the person in charge of the highest level you ever thought about achieving. God used everything that I ever experienced in my life to get me to where I am now, to let me know that he still has something more for me. What more does God have for you? Where is God trying to take you? Why is the enemy trying to throw illness at you to get you discouraged, to make you know that you're in a battle, that battle that could cause you to have fear or be caught in any type of bondage or jealousy or envy or sin, whatever, whatever, whoever, however, wherever the enemy is attacking you at. Know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that God can use that very thing and those things to get you to where he's taking you, because somebody's watching you. Somebody's going to do greater works than you did just because they watched you being a walking, living epistle. Even if your agenda is to do what God has said and to do it well, somebody's watching you. Somebody gets to become the president's wife because they watched you. Somebody gets to become the superintendent because they watched you. Somebody gets to be the head of the family because they watched you. Somebody gets to get that eight-figure income because they said, I want to do better than you. Not in a way that it's negative, but you show them that you were the first person to ever get a degree, not just an associate's degree, not just a bachelor's degree, not just a master's degree, but God used you to be the first woman of valor. That's who you are, Minister Margo. Woman of valor, that's who you are, Minister Sheila. Woman of valor, that's who you are, Minister Sylvia. Man of valor, Prophet Antoine. Man of valor, Reverend Lawrence Seabury. Man of valor, Pastor Troy. Woman of valor, Dr. Serena Wright. See, that's what God is calling you, no matter what the world is calling you. As we accept what God allows, and as we declare and decree, not my will, but your will be done. And as we say, Father God, be it unto me according to your will. And as we say, Father God, I can't and I don't want to miss you, not in what you're doing in this season or what you're doing through me for your kingdom agenda or what you're doing through me for the purpose and the destiny that you've placed in my life. Not only will I not miss you for what you're doing through me, I'm not going to miss you for what you're calling me to be a symbolic instrument of. So no matter what they're calling you, God can switch it. God can transition it. God can use you to use it as a testimony so that you can lift up Jesus so that he can draw all men unto him. Are you a symbol of patience? Oh, yes, you are. Are you a symbol of humility? Oh, yes, you are, even if they called you a donkey. Are you a symbol of praise, you Lion of Judah? Are you a bull or a dove that's a symbol of value and trustworthiness? Are you a lamb or a sheep or a coin or a person that's a symbol of someone that sacrifices like the widow? That very morsel, that very last morsel. Are you that woman that was caught in adultery or that symbolizes the redemption of God? Are you that person that walks in the mercy of God? Are you that person that shows agape love? Are you that person that shows how God blesses you with his unmerited love over and over and over again? Are you that person that shows somebody that not only is he your heavenly father, but he's your daddy God? He's your friend. He sits in high places, but he hears you. He comes down to see about you. Just that important to God. When man said no, God said yes. So if you haven't heard anything else on today, I hope you heard that God will show people that you are to be trusted that you're that refuge they can turn to, that you're that person that accepts what God allows, even when you don't understand it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I turn it over to you, Minister Sheila.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for that powerful word, that lesson, that teaching, and that acknowledgement that you have brought on to us this morning. As we want to say thank you, Apostle. I want to say the lines are open to each and every one of you that might have a testimony, a comment, or just something, words to say. The lines are open.
Hi, this is Minister Sylvia. Apostle, you said, what do we think about a donkey? I think about donkeys as being stubborn, sometimes unwilling, and sometimes only moving when they want to move. That's what I think about a donkey. And I want to say I enjoyed the word on today. It really was an awesome word, and it made you think about what spirit are you operating under. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Amen. This is Minister Margot, and I just like to say thank you, Apostle Alex, for those words, for the encouragement, and for helping us to realize that we are being watched, and who are we representing in our lives, to family, to friends, to the people that we meet. And that we don't want to be that stubborn donkey that doesn't listen and hear, because whatever burden it is we have to bear, we're not bearing it alone. God is with us. So thank you for those words of encouragement, and to know that God still has a work for us to do. Wherever we are, whatever season we're in, there's something we must do for God. Thank you so much for those words. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you, Minister Sylvia Kaiser White, and thank you, Minister Margot McCoy. And I'm going to apologize if when I was praying earlier, if I didn't mention someone or forgot, or just, like I say, at work and trying to cut off a customer before they get too loud as normal. But I said, I'm agreeing with Minister Sylvia Kaiser White and Minister Margot McCoy. A donkey is hard-headed, stubborn, a mule head, but yet it can come to a understanding. Just as the leader, the handler, is walking them, they can talk to them, help them understand, just as God can walk with us and help us understand. Either way it goes, we are all mules in one way or another, because we have our stubborn ways. We have our heartache, our headaches, hard head, stubbornness, just don't want to do. But yet we'll come to ourselves and realize sometimes your hard-headedness, your stubbornness only truly hurts you. So when the disagreement is on, sometimes you have to stop, look, and listen, and also say a prayer for God to help you to understand that your hard-headedness and your stubbornness can lead you the wrong way. But as the devil will attack, sometimes you need that hard-headedness and the stubbornness. Because no matter what God put in front of you, the devil will try to take from you and confuse you. So as I say, if it takes you to be hard-headed and stubbornness, to be that mule, make sure it's against the devil and his people. But when you take it and use it, you have to ask God, Lord Jesus, help me to help myself to use this muleness of my body the right way. I just want to say I want to thank everyone for listening. I just want to say the lines are open. Does anyone have anything else to say? Is your time is now? Okay, I want to thank you for each and every one of you listening to the program today. And I just want to thank God for blessing us with another day. I want to ask each and every one of you to tune in each and every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Excuse me. 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser. And on Monday night with Iron Sharpening Iron, which is Blog Talk and also Facebook, with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. I believe our speaker tomorrow night, Monday night, would be Pastor Troy Thomas, a mighty, magnificent man of God, with mighty good words at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Excuse me. And on Friday, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, sir. Excuse me. And I think this Friday would be Prophet Antoine Thomas. Can you help me out on this, Minister Renee, because I'm trying to do a little work, paperwork, and try to think at the same time. If I'm wrong, please correct me, which is on Facebook and Blog Talk also. I just want to say I'm...
You're correct.
Pardon me?
You're correct. It is Prophet Antoine.
Okay.
This is silly.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm just trying to work, count money, paperwork, and I just thank the Lord sometimes that my mind do works. And I'm trying to do many things at once. And I just want to say, Friday night, Prophet Antoine Thomas, and also Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. Sometimes they switch off due to one might be in a situation where the other one do cover, which is a magnificent setup that they do have. I just want to say I want to thank you, and to ask you to remember our foundational scripture, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. And I would like to ask Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, could you pray us out, and also a special prayer for Minister Margot McCoy? I heard her say she wasn't feeling good, and to bring the Lord's Spirit down on to heal us all.
Amen. Father God, we glorify you and we magnify you. We thank you that not only does Minister Margot know you as God, she knows you as a healer. She knows you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, she knows you in every title that you let us know that you have. We ask you, God, to send your Holy Spirit, send your ministering angels, send the blood of Jesus, send the stripes of Jesus to touch her from the inside out, to heal her from her head to her toe. And send your archangels, God, to block every strategic plan of the enemy that has tried to touch her body. And God, use it to release the Lion of Judah, that she'll praise you with every fiber of her total being until she feels better. When the enemy is saying, lay down, lay down, lay down, she'll be up saying, I thank you. God, you're more than able. I thank you. I thank you. Strong Redeemer, I thank you. I thank you. Healer of my soul, I thank you. Oh, mighty God. Oh, precious Lamb of God. God, the more he attacks her, the more she will praise you. So much so that he'll say, I'm going to leave her alone. God, give her, I'm going to leave her alone, pray that the enemy says, I am so tired of every time I attack her. Not only does she call for the elders to pray, but she starts praising God. For God, you said that you would use the foolish things to confound the wise. So although the enemy thinks he's wise, he's not. And although he thinks he's going to knock her down, she's jumping right back up. Thank you for the healing. We thank you for the holy. We thank you that even out of this, not only will the enemy know that she's not playing with him, that you'll give her a message about the myth. About the tactics that the enemy has tried to use. And God, not only will that message heal and deliver her family, it'll heal and deliver her friends. It'll heal and deliver her neighbors. It'll heal and deliver whoever she comes in contact with, just because you're her God. We count it as done, and we declare and decree it by the power in the name of Jesus. She's healed, she's whole, she's blessed. For you have given her the peace that surpasses all understanding, the joy unspeakable, and made everything that seemed to be impossible possible. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this service. We thank you for everyone connected to Smile3E. We thank you for those that aren't even connected to us. They're connected to you, God. We thank you for the connections. We thank you for the alignment. We thank you for the doors that you're opening that no man can shut, and the doors that you're shutting that no man can open. We thank you for the windows, the windows, the windows, the many, many windows from the north, the south, the east, and the west, that the blessings of the Lord are pouring out on us, that we have no room to receive them. Not only are we reaching up and grabbing them, God, we're putting them in the sacks. We're putting them in the boxes so that we can send them to somebody else. Thank you for allowing us to be a charitable people, a loving people, a kind people, people that are being walking, living epistles read of men. Thank you for everything that you did on today. Pray for Minister Sheila. I pray for Minister Sheila that she'll be able to do any and everything that you're calling her to do. I pray for Minister Sylvia that she will not only do the things that you called her to do on Friday nights and Monday nights, God, but expand her. Expand her, God. Expand her not only in the motorcycle world, but expand her beyond anything she could ever ask or think. God, we thank you for Minister Margo. God, how her ministry is expanding, even though we don't see the manifestation of it yet, that you are doing it in the background. The youth, the Sarahs, they're coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. The ones that are usually there are going to start talking about it to somebody else. So as they're bragging on what you're doing through her, God, the Sarahs, the family, they're going to come and say, I want to see what Minister Margot is doing. We thank you for what you're doing in Prophet Antoine. You're expanding him to the nations. We thank you for what you're doing through Dr. Serena Rice. You're expanding her to the nations. We thank you for what you're doing through Pastor Troy and Reverend Lawrence. You're expanding them to the world. Not only are you expanding them, God, you're expanding those that are on the line today. Expansion in their finances. Expansion in their healing. Expansion in their wholeness, expansion in their prayer life, expansion in their ministries, expansion, 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 promotion. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Okay, I guess amen. That's it, because Minister Sheila is probably still doing her stuff at work. Amen.
Uh-huh. Yeah, amen, amen. Thank you for the prayer, Apostle Elect. And I pray that my Minister Michael McCord recover from her illness. And God have blessed us all. I thank you. Thank you for everyone participating. And may God bless us all. Amen and amen. And have a blessed day.
Bye-bye.